Before I get into the message this morning, I'd like us to watch a clip that will illustrate how one another relationships could function well, but this is more on the spirit behind it and the heart behind that kind of relationship. When I talk of one another relationships, I'm talking about discipling one another, whatever you call it. For some of us, the word discipling scares us, so I will use the one another relationships. Amen? And that's in the Bible. I can talk about that very comfortably. You'll be okay with that. Amen? Who is God to you? That's the question. Because if you don't figure out God properly, it'll affect everything you touch. Whether it's one another relationships, whether it's with your wife, whether it's with your children, whether it's with anything you touch, will be affected with who is God to you. So this morning, I want to talk about transformative one another relationships. English Justice says in verse 4, 9 to 10, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Amen? You know, in Genesis, the Bible says it's not good for man to be alone. Now, we read that scripture with a bias of marriage. But the principle is that it's not good for us to be alone. Our bias is, that's talking about marriage. Not really. The principle there is relationship. And from the onset, God is saying, it's not healthy to be on your own. It's not healthy if you don't like relationships. In the Bible, then, in the whole set of the Bible, you see that rhythm playing again and again where people need God, people need one another, and those relationships are so important. And yet, in our culture today, we work so hard to be independent, to want nobody, which is really a false reality. Because you need someone to work on your finances. You need someone to work with you. You need someone on everything. But yet we tell ourselves, I'm independent. There's healthy independence. But there is unhealthy independence where you don't want any help from anyone. You don't hear any other how God speaks to you. There's a physics term on that called entropy. Entropy is when you don't take any energy coming from outside into you. What it does is that you collapse long term. You're just going to collapse. So if you're a Christian coming to church and not having any relationships, deep relationships, long term you're going to dry out. You will come to church, you will worship, but you'll have nothing to get inspired on. And you say, I don't need anyone, I need God. Well, God is there already, but He put people in your life so that He may speak to you through these people. When you resist people, you're resisting God's plan on how He works out relationships. We need people to work through things. When you are hurt in life, you need people to bring you healing. In other words, you get an accident in one car, you get in another ambulance, another car to get you to hospital. You need people still. The way we think is, I'm never going to get into another car. Well, you need that car to get you to get healing. So you cannot refuse people altogether. And understand this. And so he says, two people are better than one. The Bible is very clear. We need people in our lives. Now, the one another relationships have different dynamics and different things can happen. And that dynamic stems from whether God for you is a rule maker or teaches you a lot of grace. Let's get this right, though. Grace is not a license to tolerate sin. Let's get that right. We see it many times when the Israelites move off and God will say, no, you got to come back to what God expects you to do. Grace is not a license to just be, this is me, accept me anyway. Well, we accept you, but we will nudge you in grace and in love to be transformed and become more like Jesus Christ. Amen? Christ must be the standard of acceptance. Let's start with one ingredient that is necessary for healthy one another relationship. That is acceptance. You see, this is Romans 15, verse 7 to 8. And let me read chapter 1. It says this. In chapter 1, it says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failing of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good. Hope my eyes are not failing me here. Let's take that again. Each of us should please our neighbor for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those insulted you have fallen on me. The very basic principle from the very top is that we are supposed to build each other up and not please ourselves, because we see there's a certain strength I have and you don't have. Rather, I should look at that and say, wow, how can I use what God has given me to build the other brother, the other sister up? Then the one another relationships begin to work well. Now, skip and get to verse 7 to 8. It says, therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. The point is, accept one another the way Christ accepted you. When he went on the cross, he was making this point. The Romans have been given this point clear, because they had issues between Jews and Gentiles and how that worked. And they were having all kind of pettiness among themselves based on culture and other things. And says, no, the standard is Christ. Christ died on the cross for mankind. You see, when I come to church, I see mankind. It's important that you understand that you're a disciple first. That's the place of starting, that you're a son of God, a daughter of God. When you start from that position, then you can accept. Does that make sense? That does not mean you're blind to the differences. It simply means that God is bigger than the differences. That does not mean that you don't have an identity. It simply means that you realize that because of God, we're unified. And because we're unified, we now give glory to God, despite the diversity of background, of education, of nationality, of thinking. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews to show that God is true to the promises he made to the ancestors. That promise was made in Genesis 3:12 when he says, Abraham will be the father of all nations. They were still bickering about, well, should we go with these rules or without rules? He says, no, this promise is for everyone. Abraham is the father of all nations. And so you have to ask yourself, have you accepted the other brother or the other sister? The same questions here. Who have you not accepted? That happens because we've made our opinion the bias of how we judge society. When you make God, the Word of God, the source of how we make decisions, acceptance is easier. It doesn't mean you will not see the differences you have. You will realize this, though, that you know what? I'm aware that I have some differences, but I'm going to love this person anyway because of Jesus Christ. And then what about them triggers you? There are certain people you talk to and it just triggers you. It just triggers you. You don't even know why you get triggered. That is a point of prayer. That's the point of one another relationship that needs to grow in. The way we deal with life is that anything difficult we run away from. And yet God has allowed that in our lives so that we may grow. Amen. So that it's not a point to run away. It's to examine what is triggering me and making me more like, making me more unlike Christ. Because when you're triggered, you tend to be all places. You're not your best of person. You speak in ways that are not godly and you say things that are not godly. What triggers you? Figure that out and you'll know how to walk with the other person. The one another relationships will work well. What needs to change in you? You notice I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about just the other person. We got to deal with us. I cannot change you. You cannot change me. But God is capable of changing everyone here. But that person must, we must turn ourselves to God first. We must turn ourselves to God first so that change may begin to happen. When that happens, when we begin to focus on God to transform our lives, our one another relationships take another level. We can talk to one another, have great discipling relationships, great one another relationships. That will not happen just because you will yourself. That will happen because you face the realities in your life, the difficulties you see in your life, and begin to make change as we should. That's why those of us who are strong should not be pleasing ourselves, rather be thinking of how do we build one another. See, if you think of building, it's putting something in construction together. Sometimes it's messy, but the final product is amazing. Amen. It's amazing. When you look down, it's the digging up, it's water, it's muddy, but when you come back 6 months later, amazing building is over there. You want to live in that building. But the work that got involved was a bit messy. And many of us give up at the messy stage. So we never get to the beautiful building. We have to learn to walk through the messiness of it. Stick with it. In prayer, in fasting, and in all kind of conversations that we need until change happens. Don't give up when it gets messy. If we're going to have relationships that show Christ is within us and transformative, we have to allow ourselves to go through that and deal with our pain. Secondly, transformation happens when we apply the scriptures. Now, we say, well, we're in church. It is for granted that we apply scriptures. I'm not exactly sure about that. That's an assumption. Whether you apply that scripture to your life is another question. It's an assumption that because we go to church, we must be applying scripture. We may be applying scripture to a certain extent, to a certain degree, to a level of comfort, not discomfort. And yet, the more you stay with God, the more He reveals things to you. If you allow Him to open that onion in your heart. Because we all have layers of stuff that God is always opening and allowing us to transform. The idea that we can set life and it's all set, it's not a reality. Life is not like your home where you buy furniture and everything is set and now we're set for life. We have a retirement plan, we have this. It doesn't work like that. With God, there's a renewal going on. Day after day. And here in Colossians chapter 3:16, the Bible says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Let's talk about, before I go further, what is dwelling in you? What is dwelling in you? The Word of God? Bitterness? Stress of life? Fear of the unknown? Difficulty of just being alive. There's some difficulty about that. Knowing stuff. What really is within you? Because it spews out. What is within you? So the question then becomes, how do you get the Word of God to richly dwell in you? The answer must be, you must be reading it somewhere. You have to be reading it somewhere. And one another relationships are dying in today's society. Would rather speak from Facebook. We may be in the same office, but we're Facebooking one another, saying, hey, hi, how are you doing? I'm like, what happened to face-to-face? We're doing texting. We're doing all kind of stuff. People would rather not pick the phone, but rather text you or something. What's the fear with mankind? Now, don't get me wrong. I like technology, but it's something goes wrong when you hide behind that stuff. You will not go and see the person, say happy birthday to them. You'd rather just send some text and say happy birthday to you. Relationships have become so impersonal. And if we don't make effort to see that God's foundational way of relationship is the way to go. I mean, we sit on the table and people are not even talking to one another. They keep looking at the tablets and all the things that go up and they're looking at and they're talking to one another. You go to a restaurant. They came to the restaurants to have a meal as a family and everybody brings up a tab. Something is wrong with it. Get this right. You need the Word of God to dwell in you so we can talk to one another. Moving on. with wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. It's important to be thankful, to have gratitude. One of the biggest challenges we face today is that the more you get, the more ungrateful you become. It is a competitive nature, a competitive discontentment that grows all the time. It's funny how you have a phone of 2015, you feel like a 2016 is the one I should have. 2016 comes at 10, and the way the economy is set is that here's the latest thing you should have. I have the phone I call the Samsung. It's not, I don't call it Samsung, I call it the Samsung. They play around with it and say, it's a new one, it's different. And we buy into it because we feel relevant to the fact that maybe I'm up to the times. It's an illusion that if you're not careful, takes away gratitude from God. It's an illusion, if you're not careful, you replace God with things, with performance, with how you look and how you stay, where you live, instead of really connecting with God who transforms you. We have to be careful about that. That is being pushed every day through media, through all kinds of things. And we buy into it. We think like that instead of being richly letting the word of God richly dwell in us. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Who do you represent? Who are you representing last night? Who are you representing on Friday? On Monday? On Tuesday? When you spoke, who are you representing? How did people feel about you? How deep is the message of Christ in you? Are you comfortable to talk about Christ anywhere, any place, or do you feel out of place? You feel out of vogue. It's not the right thing for me to be saying in this kind of setup. I need to wait for a certain place. You will not find God until you have peace to be just right with God and not pretend to be something you're not, to be okay with God, to realize that he's Alpha and Omega. He knows everything. So it's okay for us to turn ourselves into God. It works well. How is your one another relationship? I mean, when is the last time you had a one another relationship with anyone? Talked about the things we go through in life. And I know we have many friends in church. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But we need one another relationships. I was having mine with Steve Choir yesterday. We just talked about things, and before I knew it, it was 2 hours. We said, "Oh, okay, hold on, buddy. It's been 2 hours we've been sitting over here. We need to get on with it." It's not a policeman. It's not a policeman in your life. It's not a prefect in your life. It is a God-given plan to interact, to connect, to allow growth from outside. God uses different people. And I may say something to him that helps him, and he says something to me. It's two-way, but it's still there's a relationship there that we are leading and trying to have a good relationship going forward. If we don't understand that, we fear relationships because we see them as risky stuff. Well, the risk of not having a relationship is worse. It's spiritual death when you're still alive. I'd rather take the risk of getting involved in a relationship, even though I'm not sure how that will turn out. And sometimes you feel insecure, but walk through that. Don't run away. Walk through that. Walk through that. That is part of your spiritual growth. You need it to grow. The idea of all the feelings that come is a growth process. Don't run away from it. We need that to grow. Who do you represent? I've talked about that already. I hope you can think through that. Finally, but not least, we need to build each other up. Amen, church? Now, there are many facets about this, so we'll look at many facets. And you can read the whole chapter when you have time. But one of the facets that I would like to ask is, when is the last time you took anyone on fellowship? And I know that marriage, you can have people come to fellowship in your house. You know that? You can have a couple come visit to have fellowship with you. Is that right? Do you use the word fellowship or do you use the word date? Which is the one that is appropriate?
Both. Okay, I'll stick with fellowship for now. So you get, as a couple, you're going to have a couple visit. Amen? Okay, when is the last time you did that? Okay, let's move on. You don't have to answer that to me, but that's just a question. I mean, as a single brother, sister, when is the last time you went on fellowship? Let's go out. Let's go hang out. Not because you're liking that person. Not because you hope something happens. You just want to have a sincere fellowship, encouraging them, inspiring them, building them up. Sincere. Because when you do it that way, God will work out the rest. But when you chase the wild goose of chemistry, you will not get it happening. Just have a good fellowship. How is it when it comes to campus? Are you doing some fellowship? Brother, sister, sister, brother? And I'm not sure about the culture boundaries where only men ask or women I can ask. I don't know how that goes, but I guess in church we can ask either way. Let's go on fellowship. Amen? Let's go on fellowship. How is that going? I mean, when is the last time you said something that was building to another person? You really meant it, and you thought through it and said, this is building to that person. Not to me, I'm talking about one another. You follow that? We need to build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each up, just as in fact you are doing. Some of us are already doing that stuff. Amen? Amen. So keep up with it. But how much of encouraging are you doing? You know, life as it is challenging, so we need a lot of encouragement. And I once learned in the ministry that 80% was encouragement, and then 20% was all the correction and other small things that we need to do. But we need to do much more of encouragement to help people to move forward. And the point I want to put across to you today is, when you get together with people, do you encourage? Are you positive about what they're doing well? So that's what helps relationships function. If you've been together as a spouse for 20, 30 years, do you still encourage that spouse? Because you can take each other for granted and say, we've been together for 30 years. They still need encouragement. They still need encouragement. They need to know that you love them. Well, if I didn't love them, I would have left them when I was five. No, that, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You still need to invest in encouragement today. And part of the reason why we avoid one another relationships is because we don't get a lot of encouragement there. It sometimes can look like I'm going for a one another relationship, but that's the time to be to say what are my issues. And some of us are just afraid to be known. You're just afraid to be known. That is your thing. You got to walk through that and be known, because you've made peace with God and you can make peace with people. But if you're afraid to be known, you'll fear people, and you'll not have an opportunity to grow and be different. Growth happens when we connect. Growth happens when we connect. What are we building? So, when was the last time you encouraged someone? That's a question I wanted to put out there. And I want to encourage you to start doing that more. If you have one another relationships, let's do that more in one another and see what's going great. Got to work out something on that. Have you been on fellowship? That's the question I asked earlier. I mean, we really need to get on fellowship, guys. Amen. You know, making it happen. Just making sure that we have fellowship going out from time to time. We're going to this restaurant. We're going to this home. We're going to have this. We're going to have fun. The Bible talks about life and doctrine. I think as Christians, you need to have both. You follow that? Yeah. Life and doctrine, excuse me. If you don't have life and doctrine, we can have issues. If you're just a guy that talks doctrine, people wonder, is this all that Christianity is all about? You go to church and that's it? Wow. What about your life? What do you do? You know, maybe you go out jogging, get some guys, let's go over there, let's do that. Let's do something together. Yeah. Maybe you do some roasting, let's do that together. You know, whatever you do, life and doctrine together. Amen? Amen. Have fellowship. It needs to be dynamic. We need to really get on and make sure that we're planning it and making it happen. That's when God, plan it today. Plan some fellowship today before you leave, please. Amen. Amen. Keep up the good job if you're building one another up. Here is the truth, church. We cannot claim to love God and not have a relationship with one another. There's a disparity in that statement.
We cannot claim to love God and not accept one another. Amen. There's a disparity to that statement, because then God is not the center of what we claim to be. And we cannot claim that we get together and never bring out the word of God or talk about what God is doing in our lives. And that's part of being vulnerable, allowing the word of God to be spoken to you and allowing yourself to be spoken into and you speaking to others. Does that make sense? When that happens, transformation takes place in ways that I cannot explain to you, because God is doing the work. I cannot explain that to you. You will be able to tell, oh my goodness, I've changed so much since I got into this relationship. Does that make sense? I cannot explain how that functions. That is the work of God, walking in His ways. God bless you. Thank you, man.
Amen. I tell you, I am full. I normally don't eat on Sunday mornings. And it's a reason why. Because I know when I come here, I'm going to be full. So, Steve, I appreciate you. Powerful lesson. Let's give him another applause. I want to thank Bill Franson for teaching us about the lives and about the lives of the judges. And also I want to thank Joseph Washington for allowing us to see that our motivation should be, the cross should be about Jesus. That should be our main motivation. And I also got two announcements coming up. You guys seen these cards before? International Sunday. All right. We have a guest speaker that's going to be, his name is Duncan Cumbray, and he's from the Durban Church of Christ. He's going to be here April the 24th. So we just really want to just, that's in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So that's going to be extremely exciting. And where's Tony King? Tony King's right there. He's going to be in the back, and he's going to have invites. So if you're a Bible Talk leader, you can see him right at the service in the back. If your Bible Talk leader is not here and the representative can come up to get some invites, that'd be awesome. And we got one more. I'm so excited. So excited. We have a baptism today. Amen. Where's Cameron at? Where's Cameron? Can Cameron stand up? You know, I'm so excited about this because he's a young man and he sees his need for Jesus. He sees his need that he needs to have a change in life. So I'm excited for that. The baptism is going to take place at the Rouse home at 2 o'clock. So if we can make it, just get out there and encourage this brother and just see how Jesus is continuing, can see how God is continuing to move in our lives. Let's go to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day, Father. We're so grateful, Father, that you love us unconditionally, that you meet our needs, Father, that you show us how important, Father, that we love one another, Father, that we give our hearts to each other, God. God, Jesus exemplified that, Father, when he was here on earth with the 12, Father, and he taught them to go out and love other people, Father, to be in relationships with other people, to help them know more about you, God. And that's how the gospel spread. It spread one man, one woman, one person at a time, Father. And I'm so grateful that you designed it that way, Father, because it's personal. It helps us understand, Father, the cross. It helps us understand your word, Father. It helps us understand what a relationship is truly about, Father. So I pray, Father, that this week that we practice that, Father, that we, when we leave here, Father, that that will be in our hearts, Father, to get with people that we put it off for so long, Father. Because it's very important, Father, because this is how it's going to be when we get in heaven. We're going to have those relationships, Father, and we're just going to be involved in each other's lives, Father. So it's starting here, Father, so I'm just so grateful for that, Father. I ask that you continue to encourage us this week, Father. I ask that we will get into the Word, Father, and allow it to motivate us, Father, move our hearts, Father, so we can be able to give not to just you but to other people as well, Father. So thank you so much for all that you do, and we pray this in Jesus' name.